So we are looking at Mechitzos, and the topic for this week, coming off of the end of Rabbi Zirin's shiur last week, is temporary Mechitzos. Specifically, I want to talk about two potential categories of disqualification for Mechitza. One, a Mechitza that is meant to be temporary, and that's really piggybacking at the end of last week, and Mechitza Lenachas and Mechitza Letznius, which goes back to Huk of Ladira as well. And then that will also include within a Mechitza which might be temporary, which people could be removing, and I just don't know right now. So the Ashpa case, obviously, and we'll talk about that. And then the second type of disqualification is a Mechitza that is not static. Not because it's planned, you're planning on removing it, but just by nature, it moves, it shifts, the tree blowing in the wind, and that sort of case. So that's what I want to do this week, with an eye towards the following week, talking about mechitzas with gaps in them. Whether we're talking about horizontal gaps or vertical gaps, and pirza, and so on. So maybe that will, maybe we'll catch that next week. But first, the mechitza that is meant to be temporary. So, one of the problems that I had in looking at this is that some of the achronim that you look at make allegations and say things that frankly are hard to square. And so, one of them is what I'm going to start off with right now. In terms of understanding how we know that a mechitza that is meant to be temporary is disqualified, how do I know that a mechitza has to be meant to be permanent? In other words, let's say I want to be able to carry within a certain space. There are walls there. I know full well that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, someone is going to come take those walls away. So what? How do you know that there's anything inferior about a mechitza that is indeed meant to be l'sha, that's meant to be removed? So on this, the Shemi Shimon, who I'm going to quote a bit, the Rabbi Shimon Mordechai Dubinsky, in Vilna at the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, quotes a Rashi in Erevin, which we saw when we discussed Hukaf Ladira, and he says that this Rashi shows that a mechitza l'sha, a temporary mechitza, is not a mechitza. So I've brought you the Gemara again, because we're going to need it for our discussion anyway, in Source Aleph. It's the Avarnaka Gemara. The Avarnica that the exilarch had in his orchard, and as we've discussed, done a little research on, the Avarnica is some sort of overhang of tree branches that are set up in order for, with, you know, with tables underneath them and so on, for people to enjoy themselves out in the shade. So the Reish Galusa, the exilarch, says to Avhuna Barchinna, I want you to set things up so that we'll be able to eat our meal out there tomorrow. We won't have bread out there. So he sets up reeds as a fence with gaps of less than 3 tefach between them. And Rava goes along, you know, removing the reeds. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua go take these reeds to make sure that no one's going to put them back. And then the Gemara discusses what their thinking was, and Rav Papa says, supporting what Rava did, he says, Rav Asi says, Mechitzas Adrakalin, which is a builder's mechitza. Lo Shema Mechitza doesn't count. Why? Because it's Litzni Usa. It is for privacy. And then Rav Huna Breda of Yeshua says, it's because it is Mechitza Ha'asuya L'Nachas, which, yeah, we have to discuss what exactly that means, but these are disqualifications. And Rashi, in Source Base, says, Kevin delitzni usahi, since it is for privacy, ulamachar sasrila, and tomorrow they're going to remove it, lav klumi, so therefore it is nothing. Talking about the builder's mechitza. Vahanami litzni usa, and this one is also for tznius, the yom balayla be'alma hi diabita, it's just made for today and tonight, v'lav dirahi, and therefore it's not called an area in which you live. And then the mechitza that is for nachas, he says, shol lidur sham, it's not for living there, el hishtamer mashen yichusham. It's only for whatever you put there to be guarded. So the Shemi Shimon quotes this and says, see, Rashi says that a mechitza that's for tznius, that you're planning on removing tomorrow, isn't a mechitza, lav klumi.
It still sounds like the operative factor is the fact that it's for tznius, not the fact that you're going to remove it tomorrow.
Well, that may be one objection, but I think frankly the stronger objection is the end of Rashi, which I bolded here, which says v'lav dirahi. The point, Rashi is not saying that it's not a valid mechitza. Rashi is saying that this space is not called enclosed for dira.
Right.
Possibly because it's only Litzniyus, it's Lenachas, whatever it is. But I don't think Rashi is postulating the Mechitza. If you had a situation in which you had a temporary wall around a space in which people were actually going to live.
Well, that was like the Gemara about the campsite with your camels around.
Yeah. So I have a very hard time with this proof that the mechitza l'sha is not a valid mechitza. Nonetheless, we do have a basis for saying a temporary mechitza is not a mechitza, and that's where we have to move into. When working with this case of the Abarnaka, the Rambam writes something that seems to contradict our edition of the Gemara. As the Magid Mishnah notes, the Rambam has a different edition. The Rambam writes in Source Gimel, V'chol mechitza she'ena asuya, if it is not made l'nachas, and I know that the Ravid has asuya, because the Ravid has our girsa, but if it is not l'nachas, ena mechitza. V'chol mechitza she'ena asuya l'tznius b'vad ena mechitza, if it's only for tznius, it's not a mechitza. V'chol mechitza she'gua asar tfachim, fine. The point is, he says, if it's not made for nachas, not made for nachas, it's not a mechitza. So the Magid Mishnah writes, I brought it for you in Source Dalet, he says that's what we're finding in the Rambam's manuscripts. Ubahasagos, right? We get the Nesachrina Asuya Lanachas. Fine. The Girsos Heim Parakos and Pasin Upirish She'ena Asuya Lanachas as a psul. I added in the bracketed words She'ena Asuya Lahaniach Sham Davar Ola Nuach Sham. When the Rambam says that it's a psul, it's a disqualification, if it's eina asuya lenachas, if it's not made for nachas, what that means is it's not made for leaving things there, lahaniach, or it's not made for staying there, lanuach. That's the two explanations of eina asuya lenachas, as opposed to asuya lenachas, which is lenachas bakelim, if you're going to take that as a disqualification, working with the with our edition. But the point is, and the Aruch HaShulchan supports the idea that lenachas means to live there in Shitzach Beis Gimel. But the point is that the Rambam wants the mechitza to be lenachas, and the Rambam, unlike what we saw in Rashi, says, lav mechitza hi. If the mechitza is not lenachas, then it's not a mechitza at all. And then the Aruch HaShulchan likes this approach in Shin Samach Beis. He supports it. Shin Samach Beis Dalet and Hey. I didn't go into it here. But what emerges from the Rambam is, if your mechitza is not made for living in that space, it is not a valid mechitza. And so the argument will go, if it's a temporary mechitza, if it's made to be removed, then it's not made for people to live there. That's the idea. Clear?
He's reframing what lanachas means. The Magid Mishnah is reframing it in the sense that it also means lanuach sham.
Well, and that's what he thinks pshat is.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think he thinks he's reframing anything. He's offered you two explanations. Laniach or lanuach.
Right.
He's trying to explain the word lanachas, fundamentally.
But to say that it's lanuach sham is not the way that others will understand it. That's an actual person dwelling. It wasn't Lanachas initially understood just to place things there. Like there's places.
And he mentions that also. He mentioned both.
Right, that was the first one. Like,
yeah. Yeah. The Aruch HaShulchan prefers the living in one. As well. He's not the only one who says it. But yeah. But the first problem that we have with this idea that a temporary wall is not Lanachas, and therefore, per the Rambam, it's not a wall, is the case in the bottom of Erevin Ayin Chesamud Beis. I brought it here for you in Source Hey. They're dealing with the question of Rishuyos, defining domains. And the Gemara asks, V'tevan lo chai, it's based on what is previous to this in the Gemara. Straw doesn't act as a barrier. Banan tanan, I have a Mishnah that says, Mat bein shebin shte chatzeros. If I have a straw repository, this collecting thing for the straw, the place where I put it, and it's between 2 yards, and it is 10 tefach tall, we treat these as separate yards, and they require 2 separate Erevin. Right? You can't merge them. So that means that straw is a mechitza. Amar Abaye, leini mechitza kuli amar lepliki tahavi mechitza. Abaye says, yeah, everybody agrees that this is a mechitza. No one questioned that. Abaye says, we're good with that. So straw, even though, and Rashi says over there, I actually didn't bring you the Rashi, I ought to have, but Rashi on that Gemara says that the straw is going to be removed. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's there for. I should have brought you the Rashi, I apologize, but that's what he says there. So how do I understand this? So the truth of the matter is, the Mishnah Berurah, also the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, say that's not what we're talking about. If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in Tzoras Vav, it says Bakolos and Mechitza, the Kalim, the Ukafos, you can use all sorts of things for Mechitza. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, in Tzoras Zayin, Ashe Masidim Linatel Achar HaShabbos. Even though they will be removed after Shabbos is over. So he stipulates that the removal is not on Shabbos. The removal is after Shabbos. And the Siva Shabbos in Tezvav, Arachaf, says, I don't know where they got after Shabbos.
It's not the same idea as the Gezeira on the Ashpa?
What do you mean?
Most people come and take from the Ashpa.
It's the opposite. We're saying that it is good because people aren't going to take from it till after Shabbos.
Right, and that's why they're coming on to Achar HaShabbos.
Right, so they're trying to solve a problem, in other words. Right, in other words, and that's the point. The Mishnah Berurah sounds like he's saying this because he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
If this were going to be removed on Shabbos, we would have a problem.
Right.
And not just a problem of maybe they'll be removed and you won't know about it, which we have to talk about, but because that makes it a temporary mechitza, and therefore it's inherently disqualified.
Right, you're saying Mishnah Berurah is saying,
I don't know where he got
the fact this. That he was forced to say
this. Exactly. Okay. He must have been stuck.
Right.
Yeah. But I have two more problematic cases which are not as easy to write off as the Matvein case. One is the Gemara Mem Gimel Med Beis Mem Dalet Med Beis, of which I only brought you a brief part here because we have to see it in depth later on. But it's the Mechitza of Bnei Adam, right? The people Mechitza, the human wall. This fellow, Nehemiah, son of Rav Chani Eloi, is immersed in his studies, and he's walking, and he doesn't realize, and oops, he's beyond the tchum marker. So, Amalei Rechista, Rav Nachman, Rechista says to Rav Nachman, Nehemiah, Tamilcha Shari Bitzar, your student is in pain. Amalei, I say, lo, mechitza shal b'nei adam, v'yikanei. So he says, well, make him a wall of b'nei adam, make him a wall of people. And we'll see more of that Gemara and how the wall of people works. But the fundamental problem is you can't assume that you're setting up a wall of people and they're all sitting there all Shabbos. That's not what's going on in this story. So if that's not what's going on in this story, that means you accept a temporary wall. Right? That's fairly clear. That's case number one. Case number two is another one of these Gemaras where people make assumptions, but they all make the assumption, so I guess it's true. And that's Pevav Mudbeis regarding bringing a Sefer Torah, source test. Kiyasa Ravdimi. Ravdimi comes from Eretz Yisrael. Amar, and he says, Pam acha shachachu v'lo hiviu sefer Torah mi ba'od yom. Once they forgot to bring a sefer Torah before Shabbos, I don't know where they were, they didn't have a sefer Torah regularly, but that's the story. L'machar parsu sadin al ha'amudim v'hiviu sefer Torah v'karuvo. So the next day, they put up curtains, blankets, sheets, whatever it is, on posts, and they brought a Sefer Torah. To which the Gemara says, really? Parsu lechatchila mishari?
Well, it doesn't have to be that they went so far uptown, does it? They're just in a chatzah that didn't have a Sefer Torah?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? But yes, it could be anything.
Back when the Knessians were off in the outskirts of the city, that's where the Sefer Torah would have been?
Possible. And there's also discussion about the Teva being something mobile. That they would actually, either for security or for whatever reason, put the Sefer Torah away after use, and then have to bring it. I gave shiur a couple of years ago on when we were doing brachos and tefillah, and this came up as part of the conversation, but I don't remember how. It was somehow connected to the article by the Frimmers on women in Kriyas HaTorah, but I don't remember anymore how in the world those two are linked. To go back to the notes. Right, but in any case, the Gemara says, Parsu lechatchila, they spread these out, like initially that's what they went and did, they set up this barrier, Mishari, how in the world would that be permitted? You're not allowed to make a temporary oal on Shabbos, don't you know that? Ela masu sedinin prusin al ha'amudin veviyu sefer Torah v'karubo. The answer is, they found curtains already on posts, and therefore they were able to bring a sefer Torah. So on this, the Shemi Shimon, on Erevin Chavav and Aleph, says it sounds like these aren't to be left there. The curtains that are there are not necessarily there all Shabbos long, but people take them, they remove them, they put them, whatever. Granted, that seems to be a problem of Ohel Arai and building it and taking it apart, but that's what he says. He says these are meant to be temporary, and yet, lo and behold, they seem to be fine. So two answers are given for why a temporary mechitza would be a problem on Shabbos and yet be okay here.
Is this? I didn't really understand what this looked like. Is it a roof that they have, or the sheets over the poles like this, or is it
Right, so that's part of the discussion in the Gemara there about what exactly constitutes Ohel Arai. If I put up just walls, is that an Ohel? Mm-hmm. But I don't want to go into right now.
What exactly?
Yeah. So what we need to do is figure out why the temporary Ohel is temporary Ohel. So why the temporary Mechitza is good in a case like the fellow who's outside of the Tchum, and we're going to make a wall of people, or these curtains, but it's not good in the Avarnika case. They bless you, the Mechitzas or Yelanachas. What's the difference between the two? So I'm going to bring you two answers. The first answer, and this is the Shemi Shimon's answer, is that temporary is fine in general. However, it's not good in the case of the Avarnika, because in the Avarnika case you needed Dira. You needed to actually live there, much as I noted from Rashi in the first place. The issue in the Avarnika case, the issue on Chavav, is not about needing mechitzos. It's about needing to be kavua, needing to be fixed there. So the Shemi Shimon writes, I brought it for you in Source Yud, he says, remember the discussion about the Avarnika case and Hukof Ladira and so on, and the Rashba's position, which he says is the one we paskin like in Shulchan Aruch, is that the problem is only because it was more than Beis Sasayim, because it was more than that minimum size space. Lefishitas harashba, debeemes mechitza she'ena asuya lenachas, v'chein mechitzas hadrakal and shapir hav mechitza lechomili. Within Rashba's view, that this mechitza that is not for nachas, or is for nachas, again, depending on your edition, well, the builder's mechitza is a mechitza. V'rak b'hach uvda de'avarnika de'ba'inin she'muka fledira mishum da'isa yisari be'sasayim lachein lo'hav a mechitza. The only reason why in the Avarnika case we didn't accept it was because the space was more than this base sasayim area, therefore it's not a mechitza. Masha'enkin b'hach uvda de'lekaman, as opposed to the case on Peva, on the base, Deparsu Sedinin, where they spread out the curtains, or the curtains were spread out, Hayalahatir Tiltul Sefer Tari, Bayis Labayis, that's to allow them to take the Sefer Tari from one house to another, Valo Mayri Klam, Beyosi Beis Sasayim. So that's not a case where it's more than Beis Sasayim, Linyan Hekaf Ladira, Valachin Shabraf, Machitza, Valokashimidi. That's his simple resolution for the problem, is that temporary is Machitza. It's just not Dira. Which, you know, again, I thought that was what Rashi was saying in the first place, and therefore I think he's being a bit circular, effectively. He brought you Rashi on Chavav to prove that temporary is no good, even though Rashi said temporary is not Dira, and his resolution to the problem is temporary is not Dira. So, fine. But that's his idea, and therefore the psul litzniusa also is only if it's more than base sasayim as well. And so temporary wall is fine here. And then he says, by the way, this fits the gra in Arachayim Tzadi. They're talking about the issue of needing to daven by a wall. And even though we say very clearly that this is not a hard and fast halachic obligation such that you cannot daven unless you are next to a wall, nonetheless, it's mitzvah namuchar. You're supposed to daven by a wall if you are able to do so. And there's discussion about whether a person constitutes an interruption between you and the wall. If I'm davening at that table over there, and there's somebody over here, and then there's a wall here, does that person block me from the wall, or can I say I fulfilled davening mitzvah min amuchar, and I don't need to come over here and actually line up by the wall? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Source Yud Aleph, Tzerech shalaye debra chutzeitz beino bein akir. Nothing should interrupt between him and the wall. V'debra kavua kigon aron v'teva einam chutzitzin. He says if it's something that's established there, the aron, for example, that's not an interruption. Parentheses from the Rama. V'locha shemachitza rak v'debra gadol shegav ho yud v'rach v'dalid. He says it's not an interruption if it's small, only if it's large. 10 tefach tall, 4 tefach wide. And then he writes, V'chim balei chayim einon chotzitzin. Animals are not an interruption. Afilo adam einon chotzitzin. And a person is not a chatzitza. And then he writes, in the Rama, V'li nirat de balei chayim chotzitzin. He says animals would be a chatzitza. Adam einon chotzitzin, but not people. V'chim nirat saras haposkim. V'ashar denah faltos besfarm. He says, I don't really know why they said otherwise. This is what it is. Animals are an interruption. People are not an interruption. So on this, the Bir Agra says, Ayin Sof Perak Beis De'erubin. That's it. explaining why people would constitute a why people would not constitute an interruption. He says, "Yeah, see the end of the second paragraph in Arabic. What are you talking about?" So the Shemi Shimon explains that that what he is saying is the person is not kavua. Just like we're saying over here that a temporary mechitza is a mechitza, but it's not kavua to create dira. So therefore, it's also not kavua such that it will be called a mechitza. That's what he believes the Gra is saying.
For all you know, the Gra is saying what the Prichadash said, and like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Prichadash is the exact opposite. The Prichadash, possibly on Shulchan Aruch, says no. If a person is in front of you, it's fine, not because he's not a wall, because he is a wall.
Yeah.
And you have to daven in front of a wall. And we know from the Goran Erevin that a person is a wall.
Right.
That's the Prichadash says. So for all you know, that's what the Goran is saying. What the Prichadash says is no.
That wouldn't fit with what the Shemi Shimon is saying. So therefore, it has to come up with another explanation.
Right. And for all you know,
the Prichadash is more straightforward.
The Prichadash is very straightforward. The person isn't an animal. Depends. If he's running around, we say he's not complex, he's not a wall.
Right.
So,
although in fairness, then he shouldn't be referring you to Perek Beis.
Yeah.
If that were true, he should have referred you to Daf Mem Gimel Mem Dalet. We're talking about Mechitzas Bnei Adam.
True. The Gemara probably doesn't mean that. The Prichadash, though, solves the whole problem that way. Yeah. By just saying, what do you mean? The Gemara work perfectly together. The Halachas work perfectly. So you can have a person. But just, it's probably worth mentioning. The reason that everyone is convinced that a person, that you can dominate in front of a person, right? It's because the Gemara says you can't down by the Rebbe.
Right.
So all these, what all the Nosikyam are working off of is this assumption that, well, you can't down behind a Rebbe, which means you can down behind a person.
Right. Although, that's the assumption that the wall has to be in front of you.
Yes.
Lavdavka. But he said, Panav Alakir, right, which is where all this came from, didn't say the wall was in front of him.
Maybe it's to the side or something.
Yeah. But he said, usually needs to turn.
Right.
But he said, Panav Alakir, Dafka does not sound to me like a wall's in front of him. The
in the corner.
Yeah.
The back corner.
I can have right here. There's a wall right here for those listening on the audio. But that's the Shemi Shimon's argument, is that fundamentally temporary is fine as a mechitza. The only thing it's not is dira. The Nachal Ha'aravim, whose sefer on the front page just says Rabbi Yosef ben Moshe. I think he was from Lamza. But it doesn't give us a last name. But somewhere middle of the 19th century, the sefer was published in Warsaw in 1867. His comment on Irvin Chavav Mir Aleph is a different approach. I brought it for you in source Yud Gimel. He says, "Dafka le'inyan Shabbos hu deba'inan mechitza hakayemes." He says, only when it comes to Shabbos do we require that it be an enduring wall. And in fact, we want it to be an enduring wall. If it's only something that is litzniyusa and therefore is going to be taken apart on Shabbos, it does not count as a mechitza. Because at every moment it is something that is going to be ruined, going to be destroyed. It's like a temporary construct. The temporary construction, anyway, not construct. And it could fall on its own. So there, because they only meant it to be temporary, and therefore they didn't build it in a way that's going to endure. Va'az b'shavas, and this is his key, e'efshar shuv l'takna v'liv nosa kimikadem. So what that means is that on Shabbos you won't be able to fix it. V'lachein chashvinam la ki'ilu kvar nistera v'nipola, or unifula. He says, therefore, we treat it as though it had already been demolished, or it had collapsed. As opposed to other mechitzas for all other issues that are not Shabbos issues. Whereas, so what if it collapses? You just put it back up. So he says, it's a unique law for Shabbos that mechitza will not work because you can't fix it. That's his idea.
So did it come out to be one of those, I think we saw this distinction where on a Dreiser level, it is a mechitza, but since we have this concern, it's thought of removing it from the category of mechitza.
Essentially, that's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like an inherent psal. Yeah. And he says, using people then is fine on Mem Gimel Mem Dalet, because people, he says, if they fall apart, say reorient them. And then he says, well, you'll worry about them knowing, because one of the things we saw in that sugya, which we'll come back to, is that they're not supposed to know that they're serving as your wall. But he says, in this case it works, because it's all in one ma'amad. I wasn't clear on why that made it okay. I think what he's saying is, if they don't know in the beginning, then even if they figure it out, as you're reorienting, that's okay. I think that's what he's trying to say. But he refers you to a Taz, but the Taz didn't say that. So I'm not at all clear on what he's referring to when he says it's all one ma'amad and therefore it's fine. But he says, that's why Mem Gimel is good. And he says, as far as the curtains on Pei Vav, that's fine too. Because Pei Vav said it would only be good to set up the curtains if we were allowed to set up Ohel Arai. Right? You would only be allowed to set up the curtains if you're allowed to set up a temporary Ohel. If I'm allowed to set up a temporary Ohel, I'm also allowed to fix a temporary Ohel. And the conclusion there is that you're not allowed to set it up. But since the curtains are already there, you are allowed to use them. Since they're already there, he says, we don't worry that they're going to fall off because they've lasted so far. And therefore, you're allowed to use them. And he says, that's why, he also addressed this tefillah issue. He says, that's why a person is not a machitza when it comes to tefillah. Why? Because you don't want him behind you. You don't want him between you and the wall or whatever it is. And therefore, if he walks away, you're going to let him walk away. You're not going to bring him back. So therefore, he's not a machitza. It's all about whether it is going to be fixed or not. That's the idea. Both of them are really, I think, they're both building off of the question of the Binyan Olam, who asked this. Binyan Olam Yud Gimel is the source of this. I think one of them even quotes him explicitly. I think the Binyan Olam sides with the Shem Bishimon's idea that a temporary one is, in fact, a machitza. And it's only not a dira. I think that's his approach in general. So the upshot of this is that the psul of a temporary machitza is not inherent. The psul of a temporary machitza is practical. I think that's the upshot of this. Either you take the view of Shemi Shema, the Aram psul is a chisarin and dira, but it's fine, but it is a machitza, or you take the position of the Nachal HaRavim, that the machitza itself is a practical psul, but it's a practical psul of inability to fix it. I don't think he's saying something inherent.
And then you have the Rambam, and they're all assuming now like the Rambam really thinks that it's that these the psul and Gemara is psul nidareisa.
Right. I mean, the Shem Shem and outright just rejects what the Rambam is saying, but that takes us to the next issue, which is a machitza which might be temporary, which could be removed, and that brings us to Erevin Sadi Tesamud Beis and the issue of the Ashpa. So I brought you source Yud Dalet. Mishnah says, "Bor Rishus Harabim Mechuyasa Gavoa Asarat Fachim." Right? If you have a cistern in the Rishus Harabim in the public area, and the chulia, the stuff they dug out of it, which is now forming a border around it, is 10 tefach above the ground, so whether that's the bor plus the chulia or just the chulia is its own piece, it doesn't matter for our purposes. So since you are given a wall of 10 tefach, so you're allowed to fill from the cistern up to the window that's above it. And if you have an ashpa, the case that we are concerned with, ashpa brishus harabim gavoa asar tefachim, if you have this trash heap and it's 10 tefach high, chalon shagabav shochem lesochemayim b'shabbos, you can pour water from your window out into the ashpa on Shabbos, and that's okay, because it's landing on an ashpa that is more than 10 tefach high. So the Gemara asks, "V'lo cheshin and shemeti nartel ashpa?" But maybe some of the trash is going to be cleared away. Well, Rav Baravada Amar Yitzchak said, "You had a mavoi, which one end ended with the sea and one end ended with the ashpa, and Rebbe would not prohibit it, would not permit. He would not permit it because maybe the ashpa will be removed or the yam will raise up sirton. We'll talk about the sirton in a second, but it's something that would disqualify that wall, apparently." But he wouldn't prohibit, because you have walls right now, and as Rabbi Ziering said last week, walls are king. Once you have walls, everything else is easy. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, no problem. Hadi yachin, hadi rabim, it depends on the type of ashpa. If it's a public ashpa, then we treat it differently from a private ashpa. Fine. What is the sirton concern when we're dealing with the yam? So the standard assumption is that what's wrong with the sirton is that it will ruin the machitza. In other words, I have a drop off to the sea right now. However, the siriton is silt that is going to get washed up there and is going to ruin the drop off. That's the usual take. However, meaning you won't have 10 tefach in height. You won't have a straight 10 tefach drop. You'll now have a slope.
In which direction?
Down to the sea. In other words, here's my this table is my mavoi,
yeah.
And here's the sea right next to it. So right now there's a 10 tefach drop,
right,
where the mavoi ends down to the sea. But the silt is going to amass there. This is going to be deposited. It's kind of a delta, whatever. It's all deposited here by the edge of the mavoi. And now you don't have a fourth wall anymore because there's no drop-off.
And a slope is only considered a wall if it's...
That's the right...
Ten tefach and four, right. Four amos, yeah.
So, instead of going straight down like this, it's now going to be like that?
Yeah. Now, the Magen Avraham quotes the Magen Mishnah. He says he has a different take. If you take a look, I brought it on the sheikhs. I thought it was interesting. The Shulchan Aruch is in Tesvav. Right? They give you the case of the Mavish Tzidu Echad Kala Yam, Tzidu Echad Kala Ash, Tzidu Echad Kala Ashba Shalrabim. Right? And the Ashba Shalrabim, the public Ashba, you're fine with because that people don't clear away. And then he says, by the Yam, right? He says, Ein Choshen Shemayala Yam Sirtam. We're not concerned about this, this silt case. So on that, if you take a look at the Magen Avraham in Source Tezayin, Umagid Mishnah Mashma, Da'av Pishiskatzer Hayam Mikom Makom Nishar Madron Ba'omek Yud, V'hav Mechitza. The Magid Mishnah says it's not a problem that you've lost your Mechitza. That's not the problem. Rather, Ela Shachshashi Yishemi Yitalflu Men Amavoy L'makom Shnei Ziyabesh Hayam, the concern is that there's a lot of silt deposited outside of this mavoi beyond. And even though there is a drop-off from the silt into the yam, nonetheless, it's more than beis sasayim, the space that's outside the machitza. And therefore, it's not hukaf ledira. And therefore, our concern is people in the mavoi are going to carry out onto this brand new deposit that's outside of the mavoi. That's the siratone concern, according to the Magen Avraham, cited in the Magen Mishnah. But it's not the major issue for us right now. The major issue for us right now is, in general, this disqualification of the wall of the mavoi because of concern about something that might happen on Shabbos, which might remove your machitza if I take the usual siratone concern or if I take the ashpa case, either one. And indeed, this is paskind in the Shulchan Aruch, as we just saw in Source Tesvav. It's brought in the Rambam and Hachos Shabbos in Yud Zayin Hey. It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch there. It's in the Mishnah Berurah in Samach Gimel Kof Yud Tes. Interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch is not worried about Sirtan. The Rambam says that some are worried. The Nesiva Shabbos in Perek Tezvav and Ha'arach Av Hey notes that many Achronim agree with the Rambam. The Chasim Sofer in Pei Tes distinguishes between whether having Sirtan would still leave three valid Mechitzos or not. In other words, this is only the fourth wall. And maybe there I'm not choshesh, I'm not concerned. But if it's more than just the fourth wall, then I have a problem. Like here, with this mavoi, we have two walls that are suspect. One being the yam, and one being the ashpa, ayin sham. But the concern fundamentally here is not an inherent psul. The concern here is it might disappear and you won't notice. In other words, like we said regarding the wall that you knew was going away, right, the wall that was designed, in fact, to go away, like the people wall, for example, where we said it's basically a practical concern, according to either the Shemi Shimon or the Nachal HaRavim. The approach here also is that it's not an inherent psul. It's that it might disappear and you won't notice. And the Mishnah Berurah says this explicitly in Shin Samach Gimel Kuf Yud Tes. I did not bring that, but I did bring you two applications of this. One application is the ice question. What happens where you are using a body of water, but the body of water could ice over? So the Taz says something remarkable here. If you take a look at Source Yud Zayin, he says, Ve'ei loma, you should not say, Didavka ba'osan shabasa shahamayim nikrashim yiya asu atalta b'chol ha'ira b'shah shabasa's lo. Don't tell me that it's only when the water ices over that you can't carry in the city, but other weeks you may. Ze eino, ain't true. The Hamrina Bayi, the Cheshin and Shema Yala Yam Sirto Shavesi Lael, the Rebbe Loratzalomar Heter Ava Gav the Yesh Mechitzos. Right? He wouldn't permit use of the Mabo, even though right now you have walls. The Mitam the Shema Lef Amim Lo Yesh Mechitza, because maybe at some point there won't be. Therefore, we're going to disqualify it at the other times. Koshkin Bazeshu Vadai Berov Hashanim. Which is really wild when you think about it. He's making a gezerah in the middle of the summer because most winters it will freeze over. But that's the position that the Taz takes. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham to say not necessarily. He says in Yudchaz, v'mnikrashim v'mos hakshanim, bala azam achitzava asur letaltel. Right? If it ices over during the winter time, then you lose your mechitza. And some say that the mechitza is not lost via the icing, but either way, he sounds like it's only in the Imos HaGeshamim. He's not saying it year round.
From the Yesh Me'achronim?
No, the first half.
Oh, right, the first half, but what is the second half? There's a front to say it doesn't, it's not suul at all, ever?
Yeah, there's a whole other discussion about whether ice, in fact, should disqualify. Yeah. That's a whole other piece to it. I shouldn't have brought it on here. The ones who he's quoting, by the way, are the Eben HaOzer and the Chasam Sofer, are the ones who say it's never a problem at all. Also see the Avnei Nezer Reish Tzadi Beis. But that's one application. The other application, which I've had as a practical case in an area that I was responsible for, is the question of vandals. What about where you know that there are vandals out there who, you know, for fun, like to damage the Eruv? They see you going around on Friday, and they see you looking at this post, and they know that you want it to be a certain way. And in fact, they damage the Eruv at some point every week. We didn't have an every week case. We had it 2 weeks in a row. It was a certain lechi was damaged, and in a way that looked like someone had ripped it off, not just like some weird thing, you know, as happens to lechis from time to time. So, you know, what's your story then in that case? Are you able to use it? You know, how do you work with that? So Nesiva Shabbos writes in Source Yates, Makum Sha'akum Etamplin Hatikun, in a place where non-Jews will remove it, Mutter Letamtel Kozman Shalon Iskalkil. So he says, until they take it away, you're fine. So he writes. And he says that's the position of the Rama. The Rama writes in Source Chaf, Im Haya Omid Lister Me'er Shabbos, Asur La'achar Shenistar. Right? If it's going to be destroyed, it's going to be removed, you can use it until they knock it down, which this is consistent with what we said above, right? That it's not an inherent psul. It's only that not making a gezerah, which is interesting.
It's still consistent with that, but still, are we saying it's still a chiddush in terms of the Sirtum case, that once we know where we're going to go, then should fall into that category?
So we're not, you know, so why aren't we making a gzera?
Yeah.
So, right, so what he does is, the Nesiva Shabbos on this, I didn't bring it here, but the Nesiva Shabbos on this, it's Perek Tesvav Ha'ara Lamed, quotes a sefer called the Pitcha Zuta. I must admit not being familiar. I don't know if you're up on him. No? But he quotes the Pitcha Zuta to distinguish between this case and the Sirtone. Because he says, with Sirtone, your fundamental problem is that people don't know how to tell when it's no good. Right? In other words, the silt has been building up there. You know, you saw it there before. Now you see, yeah, I think there's a little bit more now. But you don't know the dimensions well, and you don't know exactly what it is that you're looking for, and so on. As opposed to, and it's also, it's the end of the mavoi, and it's beyond the end of the mavoi, really, is where the sea is doing this depositing. Here, it's near people, and they'll see it. That's the Pitcha Zuta's logic. The Nesiva Shabbos, frankly, is uncomfortable personally. And he says there are many cases where we prohibit because something could be mitkalkel. He seems to be personally somewhat uncomfortable with this heter.
Oh, okay. He is the hafla.
The Pitcha Zuta is the hafla.
Is the hafla.
Interesting. Well, that upgrades it. The
Yes, it's Harav Pinchas Halevi Ish Harovitz, Rabba Shal Frankfurt.
Yes. And he wrote Pitcha Zuta on what?
On. There we go. Pitcha Zuta.
I mean, the name is obviously an Arabic name, but is this on the Masechta? Is this on?
Pirchas actually doesn't come up in his Wikipedia page.
Oddly enough.
All right. His name does, you know.
Okay.
It's Chuvos. I have no Hebrew book. It's Shilas of Chuvos Pichazuta on Arachayim and Yardea.
Okay. That's good to know. Okay, Pichazuta it is.
What Chuvos was it?
He just quotes it. I don't know if he gave the reference, but take a look in the Nisir Shabbos. It's Tesvav Ha'aralam, and you'll see it there. I should note another view on this, and this view comes from the Chesed Avram, which is Rav Avram Tomim of Vichech. In a tshuva regarding, if you look at the Chesed Avram, it's Chilek Beis Lamites. If you use the Hebrew Books PDF, it's page 467. He deals with a city that has a dammed river running around it. So he said there that if it has sirtone, that shows that it was a machitza she'ena ra'uya from the beginning, and therefore you shouldn't have used it during Shabbos at all. It sounds like he believes it's an inherent psul.
Okay, just to clarify, he has tshuva, but there is a pitzazuta on tikkun ha'eruvin, so it's a safer straight on eruvin.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Okay. So is it done as tshuvos, or is it a safer on eruvin attached to the tshuvos?
No, it's a separate sefer, because it says here on the pichas of the tshuvos that follow machaber sefer pichas of the nefel's nida and al tikkuna eruvin and on nefel sukkah and pesach and chagiga and tefillas yadayim and challah.
Okay. Sorry, you were saying?
I didn't follow with the dam. You said dam?
Yes.
It's not the dam.
No, it's a damaged. It's a dammed river.
Yeah. So what does that do to Syria?
So, well, he has a whole discussion about where sirtone is likely and isn't likely. In other words, sirtone, does it come from a yam? Does it come from a nahar? You know, what's your practical case? But he says that if in fact there is a concern for sirtone, that shows that it was a mechitza she'ena ra'uya from the beginning, and therefore you shouldn't have used it in the first place. It was possible even when there was no sirtone. So he seems to be thinking inherent psul. Like I said, it's available on Hebrew books. There are quite a few Chesed Avrams, so you have to go through. But you'll find one that's Aleph and Beis together. That's the one you want, and it's page 467 of the PDF. Okay. So that's all under the issue of a mechitza that is meant to be removed, or, you know, may end up being removed on Shabbos. The general trend is to view it as a practical psul. And therefore, while it's standing, it's still fine. With the caveat that not everybody seems to agree with this. And the wording of the Rambam was problematic, because the Rambam said, not a machitza. But, you know, we follow the Rashba as per the Shemi Shimon and the Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, that psul is really a dira psul, not a machitza psul. Okay. The next one that I wanted to talk about is the machitza that's not static. Okay, so we have to hit the Gemara in Sukkah Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, or as I like to call it, the Boats and Animals Gemara, because that's what we're talking about here. The mechitza that is not static. So you have the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, right? The Boats and Animals Gemara, it's source Chaf base. Tanya, Ho'os Sukkas of Rosh Hasfina, Rabbi Gamliel Posel, Rabbi Kiva Machshir. Right? If you put up the boat, you put up a sukkah on top of a boat on the deck, Rabbi Gamliel says it's no good, Rabbi Kiva says it's kosher. And then we get a story, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Kiva are on the boat, Rabbi Akiva makes a sukkah on the boat, and the wind blows and destroys it. And Rabbi Gamliel says, no, what happened to your sukkah? That's the brisa. So, Amar Abaye, de kuli amahecha de'eni yachol lama b'roch mitzuya di'abasha lo klumi. Abaye says, if it can't last even with a land type of a wind, which is weaker than a sea wind, if it can't stand even with a land wind, then it's nothing. Yachol lama b'she'ena mitzuya di'abasha, if it can endure an unusual land wind, kuli amalo pligi dikshayra, everybody agrees it's fine, you know, until it's gone. The machlokas is going to be where it can stand with a basic land wind, but it can't stand with a normal sea wind. That's where you're going to have a debate. Rabbi Gamliel Savar Sukkah Diras Kava Ba'inon V'kev and Da'in Yechol Lamad Baruch Mitzvah Diyam Lo Kolomi. Rabbi Gamliel says it has to be a permanent quality dwelling, and it's not. So therefore it's nothing. Rabbi Akiva Savar Sukkah Diras Arayi Ba'inon. He says, what do you mean? It's a temporary dwelling. V'kev and Yechol Lamad Baruch Mitzvah Diyam Hashak Sheir. All it needs to do is to be able to stand in a regular wind, like on land, and that's good enough. That's number one. That's in terms of the ability to survive a wind. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that's number one. Then we move to discuss animals. I saw the behemoth dolphin the sukkah Rabbi Meir posel Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Shai Rabbi Meir Omer called Never Sheish but Rachaim Ain Osin Osin Lo Dovin the Sukkah Lo Lachi Lemavol Lo Pasin the Biras Vo Golo Lekever. We say if you make an animal a wall of your sukkah, Rabbi Meir disqualifies it because he says if it has Rachaim, if it has life within it, then you may not use it for sukkah. You also may not use it for eruv, for that matter. It may not be a lechi for the mavli is the specific application that he mentions, as well as the walls or partial walls that will be around the cistern in the road. Mishum Rabbi Yosef Glili Amru Avin Kosim of Gidei Nashim. Good to know. My time with Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir's reason for disqualifying the Balei Chaim? So two answers. Abai Amar Shema Tamuz. Abai says it could die. And the presumption is if it dies, it's going to collapse. And if it collapses, it won't serve as a wall anymore. Rabbi Zera Amar Shema Tivra. Rabbi Zera says it may run away. So the Gemara then adds, "V'pil kasher kuliyam lo pligi." If you're using an elephant and it's tied, everybody agrees you're fine. What do you mean? The point of an elephant is that it's very tall, and therefore, even if it dies, the body of it will still be 10 tefa high. It won't matter. Let it collapse. That'll be okay. The only concern you have is for running away. So just tie it up with a lot of rope. The Nami Mayas Yesh Benevela So
Asa. This is the basis of a children's video now.
Is it?
Yes, in Israel.
Great.
They made a video of how Peel Berachov had their cone.
I don't want to know. The Nami Mayas Yesh Benevela So Asa. Because even if it dies, it's still Tentefachtwal. Ki Pligi Bepil She'eno Kashur. The question is only if it's not tied up. Lamad Amar Shema Tamas Lohe Shinan. Right? Abaye will say we're fine. Because really we don't have any concerns. Even if it dies, it's still ten tefach tall. But if you're concerned about it running away, then that's an application. You do have this as an issue. So the Gemara discusses tying the animal to maintain its position, and in fact, that's a requirement. The Rambam in Hashabas Tez Zayin Chaf Aleph and the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Samach Beis Hey say if you're going to use an animal, you have to tie it up. That's on the boat. That's on the boats and animals discussion. What emerges is animal is usable as long as the animal is tied. That brings us to the next piece in Sukkah, which is the tree, and that's source Chav Gimel. Amar Vachaber Yaakov Komachitza She'eni Yachol Alama Baruch Mitzuya Eina Machitza. He says if it cannot endure a regular wind, it's not valid as a machitza. On that, Tanan, we quote a Mishnah. We say you're allowed to use the tree as a wall for your sukkah. Right? Rav Acha bar Yaakov said that if it can't stand in a regular wind, it's not a mechitza. You can use a tree. Doesn't the tree sway? Now we're talking about where? It's a kasha tree. It's a tough tree. It doesn't sway. But the ends of the branches are going to sway. The Ovid lay behutza vidafna. Ovid lay with hutza vidafna. What in the world does that mean? So Rashi, I brought you in Chavdalid, says, Oreg hanof kimin mechitza. You weave the end of the branch like a mechitza, shaloni in the enu haruach, to keep it from shifting in the wind. That's Rashi's explanation. I'm going to come back to that in a moment just to finish the Gemara. Iyahi ma'ilamemra. Well, then what's your chiddush? Why do you need to tell me I can use the tree? Obviously I can use the tree. No, there's a separate concern, which is, it's Yom Tov, it's Shabbos, people use the tree, and I might have said, that's a bad idea. You don't want people to accidentally lean on the tree, to put something on it, to whatever it is, and it's teaching me that I'm not concerned for that. So that is the Gemara in Sukkah on use of the tree, and yes, indeed, I'm able to use the hard branches. Now, the Shaar HaTzion says you don't necessarily have to read that's what's going on here, that you're stabilizing it by tying it. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Source Chavhei, Ilan Shemnach of Yordim Lamata, Emeidim Gavom Shloshim in Haaretz, Vikaran Makrish Mechubaran Leilan Ugavah Asara, assuming you have the right dimensions for the branches of this tree, then he says, Chashem Machitza, Umutva Talta Vechulau, you're fine, it's a Machitza. That assumes that you're going to fill the airspace with wood or straw. And you have to tie the branches to keep them from swaying in the wind. Because otherwise, it's I can't stand in a regular wind, and therefore ain't a machitza. So Sharat Siyun on the Mishnah Berurah there in Source Chavav says, the Gemaralan is Gagshira. This is the Gemara saying about tying it. Apparently, he doesn't understand who tzavidachna to mean tying it. Right? In the Shulchan Aruch, you could just explain the reason we're filling up the space between the branches is because we don't want gaps. Right? In other words, reading the line, the Shulchan Aruch's line says you fill the airspace between it and you tie it so that it doesn't sway. But maybe the filling up isn't about swaying. The filling up is because of gaps. So the Rambam who did this, and of course it's Rashi, who sounds like it also, this issue of tying up the tree branches, the Rambam has it in Tezayin Chav Dalet. It certainly sounds like, yes, you are supposed to be tying it, even though the Gemara is lav davka. The upshot is, we want you to tie the animal, and we want you to tie the tree branches. Okay. So that brings us to our third case. We saw the case of the animal, we saw the case of the tree, and now we get to the Mechitza Bnei Adam, the people Mechitza. And unfortunately, we're not going to get to finish this topic today, clearly, but I can't really blame them for walking in. That wasn't what did it. All right, but let's see the Gemara at any rate. It's Source Chav Zayin. Nehemiah Bereid Rav Chani Eloi Meshachtei Shmaisa Ben Apachot Zatchum. This is what we started on before, right? Nehemiah leaves the Tchum. Rav Chista says to Rav Nachman, hey, your student's in trouble. So he says, no problem, make him a wall of people. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, I'm just going to say it outside. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is sitting behind Rava, and Rava is sitting in front of Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says to Rava, why didn't Rav Chista do this himself? What was his question? Right? He knows about Mechitza Bnei Adam. So if you're going to say it's where, but the Malu Gavri Askinan, you have enough people for it, and the only question is, are they a valid mechitza or not? Is that what's going on? Or, alternatively, is it that they don't have enough people, and the question is, whether we follow Rabbi Eliezer or not, in terms of whether you have to have enough people to reach all the way to the tchum. Is that, in other words, Rabbi Gamliel's question is, it's a mechitza that wasn't in place from the start of Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer's question is, does the mechitza have to actually reach the tchum? So which one of these...
Or do you have a minimum, or have a moving mechitza?
Or have a moving mechitza, correct. The Gemara says, well, let's talk about the latter question, but lo malo gavri, that's really the question. So then Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak challenges, and he says, Naval dof na lo yamid ba adam behim of a kelim lo yizka bas hamita lefer salah asadin lefishein osin o al arai betchila biyam dof vein tzarech lomar b'shabas. He says, we learned regarding sukkah, that if the wall collapses, you don't put a person, an animal, or a kli there. You don't set up a bed, you know, and have them put a blanket over it, a sheet over it, because you're not allowed to make an ol arai, temporary ol on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So what are they doing making this wall? So he says back to him, well, I have news for you. You think that's a problem? Then look at this. We learned, os adam es chaver dofen, k'nei she'ocha b'ishta v'yashin. If you want a sukkah, you can have a person stand there. And that way you'll be able to use your sukkah. And you set up a mita and so on. So kashana hadadi, we have contradictory sources. You can bring me a source that says, don't set up an ohel arai. I can bring you a source that says, you do set up an ohel arai. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, that's no problem. Habadofen shlishas, habadofen revias. It depends on how many walls you have and how many walls you need. What are you accomplishing with this person? And he brings you proof from Dafal Dofna. And then the Gemara then brings you to the last part, which is the Adam HaAdam. That's still a problem. And he says, no problem. It depends on whether they know or don't know. You're not allowed to set them up if they do know that they are being used for that purpose. To which they say, well, wait a minute, in the case of Rabbi Nechemiah, didn't they know? This fellow who went outside the tchum? No, they didn't know. Well, Rav Chisda knew, yet Rav Chisda wasn't part of the wall. It's not that nobody can know. Quantum issue of an observer somewhere ruining the whole story. As long as he's not a participant, he's still okay. What's the issue of knowing or not knowing? So the Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yohanan, who says that the reason why you can't is because we paskin that when it comes to a machitza set up on Shabbos, if it's set up amazed, it's no good. This is the Beis Yosef in Shin Samach Beis, Dibamaskal Kasav. So the Gemara in Shabbos Kufalaf on the Beis disqualifies a machitza that is set up knowingly on Shabbos, and that's what you've done. So therefore, it's no good if yada, assuming that they know. The Rashba is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah Shin Samach Beis Lamed Tes, and he says that's not the concern. The concern is lest people become lenient in an Isser Shabbos, which presumably means Hotzah. That's what we think right now. And the Taz actually says there, that's the same idea as the Beis Yosef's point. When the Beis Yosef said, if you do it, then if you know, then it's mazid. The mazid concern is, and they will take Hotzah lightly. So he says those two are really the same thing. The Taz is Shin Samach Beis Gimel. On the other hand, the Levush in Arachaim Taf Reish Lamed on Sukkah, quoted in the Bir Alacha in Taf Reish Lamed Yud Beis Ubilvad, says it's a separate problem. If they know, then they will intend to be kavua, and that will be a bonet problem.
Which is what it sounds like from Rashi on the Sukkah, that it's game bonet. It sounds like.
Could be, yeah. Then they bring you two stories in the Gemara about chuppah people who brought water using people who knew and Shmuel punished them, and Ravas Shamash bringing his barrels, using people who came to the shear while they were in motion, and Ravas stopping him because then people are going to realize what's going on and they're going to know. Fine. The Rambam brings this in Source Chavches, in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Tezayin, Halachos Yuchaf Alachav Gimel, he talks about using Bnei Adam, right, and no mention, of course, of tying them up. So what we have at this stage is three cases. One is the animal case where we want it tied. One is the tree case where we want it tied. And then you have the human beings who are not tied. And the Rambam also mentions the general rule of Ruach Mitzuya as a standalone halacha in Tezayin Tezvav, which we saw earlier. So what I'm going to want to discuss at the start of next week's shir, I suppose, is why is it that I tie up the branches and animals, but I don't tie up the people?
Right.
That's that to me is the big question with various nafkaminas lahalacha. So we have to, once we're able to answer that question, we can talk about what if, let's say, this wall is a blowable wall, but the wind is kept out, like it's inside a house. That would be one question. Another question is, how tied up do the animals and trees have to be? It will depend, again, on what exactly this requirement is that applies only to some and not to others. So we'll talk about that, God willing, next week.